In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't know what it is about 9/11, but the Mets and Yankees can hit on 9/11 because the Yankees, the Mets were almost no hit, but ended up winning. The Yankees only just now got their second hit against the Royals in the fifth inning, and he got thrown out
of trying to push it to a double.
So perhaps the Yankees will come back and beat the Royals in Mets fashion a little bit later.
I doubt it. I mean, the Mets. The Mets have a flair for the dramatic.
So. We've got the Waldorf coming up. We're going to get back to the Waldorf. We have the fresh First Coast fired. Oh, damn it. Almost got through it. We have the fresh first coach fired odds.
There you go.
Those have been updated.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Buck is bad at golf.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a hot blonde out there catching strays.
So I was sitting there thinking about Dan Lanning today.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on my couch this morning while it was raining.
Just pondering some Dan Lanning.
Drinking coffee.
That's disturbing, but all right.
Well, it's my job. I have to think of sports topics. And one of them was, I was sitting there going, you know, I asked myself the question. I said, I wonder what the similarities are to Kirby Smart because in their career ascension, because Kirby did not come in right away. He's always been good at Georgia, but he did not come in right away and be this.
Yeah.
It took him some time.
Sure.
So I had to go back and I did a little, and there's nothing earth shattering here, but I did want to go back and look at how long it took Kirby Smart to go from really, really good, which that's where Oregon is.
Sure.
To this good, where they're winning championships.
Because am I wrong in that Kirby had 1 year and then kind of the ascension. Now, he didn't get over the hump, but I thought he just had the one so-so year and then...
So I'll throw out some... Here's what it looks like.
Okay.
This is why we like to do what we do. We like to research these kinds of things.
Sure.
So I was looking at... Georgia, the season before Kirby Smart got there, they were 10-3.
And that was Mark Richt, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The season before Lanning got here, the Ducks, 10-3.
Sure.
So... Both guys, former defensive coordinators, who just got promoted.
Yeah. One at Bama, one at Georgia, so similar, you know, powerhouse programs.
Kirby Smart, age 39 and 40, his first two seasons, he goes 8-5 and then 13-2.
Okay.
Dan Lanning, age 37 and 38, his first two seasons, goes 10-3. 12-2.
Okay.
Very similar.
Sure.
So now we look at that third season because obviously this is incomplete. This is where Dan Lanning sits right now.
Yeah.
Because what I'm trying to show here is not that Dan Lanning is Kirby Smart and will be Kirby Smart. What I'm trying to show is something quite obvious, and that is that it's not a straight line ascension to greatness. You have to learn what it takes to have a special season. It's just not that easy.
Yeah, because I do remember the one mediocre year and then the ascension, but there was again, I don't have it in front of me. They didn't win a national title for a while. What was it, like maybe five, 6 years in?
So Kirby Smart's third season, much like Oregon. So far, pretty damn similar.
Sure.
So the third season at Georgia, much like Oregon, they were top five in the preseason. They opened at number three. Ironically, that's exactly where Oregon has opened this year. They opened the season at Vanderbilt, and they won the game 31-6. I went back, and I read the game recap, and the first thing Kirby Smart said was something Dan Lanning said after the Idaho game, and it is, we have a lot of room for improvement. Okay, so they had 10 penalties in that game, 117 yards. They had no pass game to speak of. They do go on to win the next five, including a win over Notre Dame, but then they got upset at home as 24-point favorites against South Carolina in week six.
Okay.
Jake Fromm threw four, well, he didn't throw four turnovers. I think he, or four picks. He threw three interceptions and fumbled once. He had four total turnovers. Their only other loss that year was they got blown out by Burrow and LSU.
Yeah.
And that team was blowing everyone out. So that Kirby Smart team, that third season, stumbled a little bit early, but was 6-0 or 5-0 going into South Carolina, and they blew it. They went on to win the Sugar Bowl against Baylor, had a nice season. They were 12-2. Sure. Okay, so if Oregon does that this year, something similar to that, that's an excellent season. But the way we've been talking about Oregon and the way preseason rankings make you feel about a team is that will be a disappointment.
Yeah, and the difference is that season being 12-2 with Kirby, you end up in the playoff. And so that'll be that. It's interesting is that now, you know,
they would have ended up.
And this Oregon team, like if they end up, let's say they lose to Ohio State and they lose to, I don't know, Wisconsin or something, right? And they still end up in the playoff under a normal circumstance. Just losing to Ohio State and Wisconsin, people would be like, well, what the hell? That'd be a total bummer of a year, even though you win 10 games, right? You go 10-2, but you won't win the Big Ten, and people would be bummed out. But this year, you go 10-2, and you lose to Wisconsin and Ohio State, you still end up in the playoff. It's like you get another chance at redemption. So it's we're in weird, uncharted territories where a lot of these so-called disappointing seasons that, like, you know, they're at Georgia with Kirby, they're not going to be viewed that way because you're going to get an opportunity then to.
But if they don't win it.
Yeah, then.
It's the same thing. Look, I think the point here is that having watched Oregon for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's okay if this isn't the big season.
Sure.
Right? And it's starting to look like that. Like, yes. I mean, come on. We talked about the offensive line, and you were saying, this is not just going to magically go away.
Yeah.
And so, look, the South Carolina game, however that manifests itself for Oregon this year, it's coming.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's important, I think, to reiterate that there are always going to be surprises along the way. You don't just go straight line to the top.
Yeah.
Struggling against Idaho was a surprise.
Yeah.
Struggling against Boise State was a surprise. But what you do is you learn and you grow from that experience. And Dan Lanning talks about this all the time. So you have to experience the anatomy of an upset to avoid future upsets. Well, Georgia did that. Now, after that third season, they had a very nice season, but very disappointing because they were preseason top five. That the next year for Kirby was the COVID year.
Yeah.
They went 8-2, but COVID year was weird. After that, since that, they have dominated college football. I mean, absolutely dominated.
Two national championships and should have played for another one last year.
Yes. I mean, I think he's only lost two games since COVID. I'm not kidding.
And yeah. That's
so the ascension from that point. So he took
And they're
his
both
lumps.
To Alabama, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I don't think he's lost to anybody since. But Alabama,
that may be right.
He lost to him. I think didn't he lose to him in a national championship game? Did they play? And then was that the Tua game? Right?
That's correct.
The national championship
where
game.
Where they benched Hurts.
And then last year in the...
Look, again, nothing earth-shattering there, and I'm not even saying Lanning is the next Kirby Smart. There are a lot of similarities in what they're doing, but I just think if Oregon doesn't complete its mission this season, just know that Lanning and company are just getting started a la Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
And the thing I like about Lanning and his staff and the things that Lanning says is he appears to be the type that never stops learning and growing.
Yeah.
He doesn't point fingers. That's a recipe for future success, right? Yeah. So if you want this to be a special season, it's go time, right? The three of your next five are on the road. One of them is at home against number three Ohio State. You can't dilly-dally anymore.
Yeah.
But even if they fall short, they have their South Carolina, or it's worse than that. Like some people are texting in saying that, hell, the way they've looked, they may lose three games this year.
Yeah.
Maybe. They might.
Yeah.
Kirby lost two his third year.
And people will come out of the woodwork and say that Lanning's all talk
exactly.
And that there's nothing there hype.
They will say all sizzle, no steak, and all of that is fine to say. It's what people say until you win.
Yeah.
But I just think they're on a really, really good trajectory, and we shouldn't put so much into one season because you're setting yourself – it's just not that easy. You're setting yourself up for failure.
That is a really good point. And someone on the Vancouver Four text line says, you know, Georgia – they looked it up. Said Georgia finished 2-7-4-7
before winning
the national title. And he says if Oregon had done that – and this is true – Beaver and Husky fans would – and a lot of the national media would – absolutely bury them saying that they're choke artists, that they can't get over the hump,
can't finish
all that. And
that's right.
And it's true. It's the narrative is so funky. And I also want to see what happens. Cause like I said, with the playoff now, I want to see if making the playoff shuts people up or if now making the playoff for these teams is considered, well, who gives a rip? Cool. You made the playoff, go win a title. You want a playoff game. I don't care. Did you win three? You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that narrative works, because in normal years, 10-2 was a disappointment and you didn't get a shot at a national title. 10-2 now gets you into the playoff. So if you go 10-2 but lose in the first round, is that a failure? If you go 10-2 and win a game or two, is that a failure? It's like we're going to find out how fan bases and the national media recalibrates our idea of success.
All right, let's get back to our Waldorf salad. The first coach fired odds have been updated, and I believe we have a new leader in the clubhouse for first coach fired.
I'm intrigued.
I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Is it?
Yeah. Who you got?
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Never mind.
Hello.
Yeah. I was like, wait. Oh,
hello.
Nope. I got
hello.
It. Yep. I think he's a good coach.
Wait, are we talking about the same coach?
I think so.
You first.
Talking Brian Daboll?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a good coach.
I thought we were talking college. I wasn't paying attention. I'm like Mike Norvell.
God. All right. No, we'll get to that next in our Wednesday Waldorf. It continues. Here is Buck with SportsCenter.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.